Good morning, and once again, welcome. This lesson is being recorded for Sunday, September the 21st, 2025. This is the lesson that will be presented when we gather together here at the Rose Avenue Church of Christ in Bellflower, California at 10:50 in the morning. And as is always the case, if you are in our area, we invite you to come and be with us as we gather together throughout the week to study God's Word and to worship Him, striving to follow the pattern that He has given us. On Sundays, we have a Bible study at 9:45, and then at 10:50, we have our morning worship service. We also have an evening worship service at 6 o'clock, and on Wednesday night at 7:30, we have another Bible study. And you're welcome to be with us every time that we do gather together. And it is our hope that if you do come and visit with us, that you will be strengthened in faith, that you will learn the truth, be reminded of the truth, and that it will help you to draw closer to God. But with that in mind, let's go ahead and deal with the lesson that's going to be presented at our morning hour this coming Sunday. And of course, we're presenting these things as a work of the church here in Bellflower to share God's word with as many people as we possibly can. So let's go ahead and get started. The lesson that I have prepared for today is one that I have entitled Delayed Gratification. But before I actually get into this lesson, though, I do want to invite you to our upcoming gospel meeting, which actually begins 2 weeks from today. That is from the 21st. And this is October 5th through the 10th. We have invited Joe Price, who was a gospel preacher in Las Vegas, Nevada at this time. We've invited him to come and speak for us throughout the week. He's going to be speaking Sunday through Friday, Sunday at our regular times, and Monday through Friday at 7:30 each evening. And if you need more information about that, you can go to our website, www.roseavenue.org, and at that website you will find more information, including the topics that Joe has prepared for this particular lesson. And along that lines, it is our hope, as we've done with many of our gospel meetings, is to record the lessons and make them available on our resources, YouTube and Facebook, as well as at our website. You'll have the recordings and whatever resources I have been given. We will be more than glad to share those with you. But with that in mind, let's go ahead and get to the lesson which we are dealing with this morning, as I said, which is delayed gratification. And I ask you to turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. And this, in Hebrews chapter 11, this is one of my favorite parts of this particular book. And what we find here, it says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Of course, we have in this text, it's recorded in the midst of talking about the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And of course, leading up to this, it's talked about how Abraham, by faith, was willing to leave the country that God had given him and to leave the country that God had given him and to go to another land. And of course, when you look at the life of Abraham, you learn that his ultimate desire was to be pleasing to God. And that's why he was willing to live the way that he did, as is recorded in scriptures. You see, when you look at the life of Abraham, God made promises to him. And this is recorded in Genesis chapter 12, where you find there's several promises that he makes to him. I will make of you a great nation. In your nation, or in your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. He's going to give them a country, and various other promises that he made, as recorded there in the first part of Genesis. And some of those promises were not even fulfilled during his life. And as a matter of fact, when you read the text, some of them God said are going to be fulfilled when you have completed your time on earth and when you go to your future generations and such. But the point is Abraham believed God and he accepted what God said. And he was willing to put off instant gratification to be submissive to God, because he trusted God more than anything or anyone else. And also he believed that if he was willing to put off things that would gratify him instantly, that there was something better waiting for him in the future. And that's what we actually read in that particular text as you were dealing there with Abraham. Now, with that as a backdrop for the context that we read just a few moments ago, they hadn't received the promises, but they were looking for something better. I think of the society in which we live today. We live in what I would describe as an instant gratification society. And what I mean by that is when somebody wants something, they want it, and they want it right now. They don't want to wait for it at all. You know, you can just think of examples. We watch movies and we watch television. We want instant access. And it doesn't matter how long ago the program was recorded or the movie. We want to be able, with a couple of clicks, to be able to start watching that instantly within our living rooms and such. When we want to purchase something, we order it online and we expect it to be delivered to us today. We communicate anywhere in the world, and we demand answers for whatever we are searching for. We demand the answer right now, and we want the answer without putting forth the work that is necessary to find the answer. We want somebody else to have already done the work for us and give us the answer that we are looking for. Furthermore, information about virtually anything is available to us at a simple click of the mouse. And you can go even beyond that. If you want to purchase something and you can't afford it right now, well, there are banks out there that will be glad to loan you the money. They'll give you a credit card so that you can have gratification right now and you can pay for it at a later time. And of course, much of our advertising, and I use credit cards as an example of that. Much of our advertising is directed toward telling you, get what you want right now. You don't need to wait. That's the society that we live in. And it's an attitude that is also filtered down into various sinful pursuits. In other words, there are those who seek to gratify themselves by engaging in sinful behaviors rather than learning qualities to help them overcome those sinful behaviors. And oftentimes, because of their instant gratification, there are consequences that are attached with whatever that particular behavior is. That's what we want to talk about in this lesson. You know, and understand that that's nothing new. You can go back to the first temptation that took place in Genesis chapter 3. You know, when Satan tempted Eve, you know, Eve said, if we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said we would die that day. And Satan said, no, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to enjoy it. God doesn't want you to be wise like him. And it says that Eve desired those things. She wasn't willing to continue to listen to God on that occasion. She wanted something for herself, and she wanted it then. And so she partook, and then we have the consequences as a result of that. Now, with that as a backdrop, you know, one of the ways that we can overcome temptations in this world is by practicing delayed gratification. And while so many around us want something right now, the truth is that when you learn to wait, the benefits are almost always better. And that is the bottom line. And I will tell you right now that as I was preparing this lesson, the Bible very strongly encourages and addresses delayed gratification in our lives. So let's talk about that a little bit in this particular lesson. When we talk about delayed gratification, what are we talking about? Well, in brief summary, what it means is you're putting off instant satisfaction for a greater and better reward later on. And that's really the point of what this is about. You know, there was an article that I came across, and this is an article that was it's associated with a psychological study, and the article is entitled 40 Years of Stanford Research Found That People With This Quality Are More Likely to Succeed. And in the article, you have this quote: success usually comes down to choosing the pain of discipline over the ease of distraction. And that's exactly what delayed gratification is about. In other words, people, rather than practicing discipline in their life and how that means I can't have what I want right now, they would rather have it right now. And delayed gratification is about being willing to do without now because of something better in the future. And of course, this article makes reference to what is described as the marshmallow experiment, which is actually was an interesting experience that was conducted in the late 1960s. So this was 50 or 60, 70 years ago when this thing was actually conducted. And what they did is they put a number of young children, about 4 and 5 years of age, they would put them into a room and they would film them, and they would put a marshmallow in front of them. But then they would tell them that if you will wait just a few moments until we come back, we will give you a second marshmallow along with this one. But if you eat that, you're not going to get a second marshmallow. And so they would observe these children, and there was hundreds of them that they would observe. And as they recorded them, the majority of the children, some of them ate it immediately as soon as they walked out of the room. Others would wait a little while, but then eventually they would eat it because they got tired of waiting. But there was a handful of those students, or a handful of those children, that actually waited for the second marshmallow to come after a 15-minute time period. Now, having said that, that's interesting to look at that experiment, but the results is what's really interesting, because over the course of the next 40 years, the researchers kept track of these children as they grew up. And several things were discovered as a result of those who were willing to put off the gratification. Among the things, it says that those children typically scored higher SAT scores. They had lower levels of substance abuse and obesity in their lives. They responded better to stress, and they had better social skills. And so on average, those that put off the gratification for a greater reward, that demonstrated a quality in their life that made them better people from that standpoint. So that just proves the benefit of delayed gratification. And as I've already pointed out, this is something that the Bible talks about. As a matter of fact, delayed gratification is a quality that we need, and it's going to factor into how we grow as Christians, as well as many other qualities that are associated with our faith. Let's consider a few passages of Scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, Paul there said in that text, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And of course, this is talking about a goal down the road, and we can't give up because things have gotten difficult, is the point that he is emphasizing on that occasion. Throughout the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Solomon, with wisdom from God, observed about life. In Proverbs 13 and verse 12, he said, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." So while you're waiting, sometimes there's a little bit of sacrifice, maybe even suffering associated with that. But when you finally receive the reward, the point is it's worthwhile. In chapter 21 and verse 5 of Proverbs, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." And the idea of that diligence, as it's talking about that, there it is. Somebody who's putting forth the effort to succeed with something, as opposed to those who hastily respond. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So you see that emphasized in the wisdom literature. In James chapter 1, and in verse number 12, James there talks about temptation, and he says there, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And the idea of enduring there is, you know, putting off whatever's going on right now. As you resist temptation, you don't give in to the temptation now. And he's saying that there's a greater reward if we will learn to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, and the book of Hebrews is written to Christians who have considered turning to Judaism from the Christian faith. And one of the things that the writer does is he establishes how everything about Christ and the new law is better than that of the old law. And he's basically saying, why would you turn back to the old law? And in many instances, it involved preventing suffering, preventing rejection from other people and things like that. And toward the end of this letter, as he begins to make some practical application based upon the doctrinal teachings, in chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, you read there, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You need to not give up. You need to not give in to what's going on right now, so that in the end you can receive the blessings from God. He goes on, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give in to the instant appeals, because we know there's something better waiting on the other side. And then he gives the examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And he gives all these examples of those who believed and trusted God, and they endured, which was really the point. I mean, you go to chapter 12, as he concludes this list, and you read there in verses 1 and 2, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. He makes the point there that we need to run with endurance this race, and we lay aside the weights and the sin that stands in our way of those things. But the point of emphasis is you need to endure. Don't give up and don't give in to the pressures that are right in front of you right now, even if it means ease of life now or instant pleasure. There's something better waiting for you if you will endure. And that's the point that is emphasized there. Over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31, you read there, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait is the point that Isaiah is making in that particular passage there. And he says, when you do that, you will renew your strength. And you will be blessed as a result of that. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 4, you know, this is an example. You know, the Hebrew writer here says, the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And I just want to make the point there. You know, one of the things that our young people, many of them are pressured into today, is to give in to waiting until you get married to have relations with your spouse. And so we find that there's a lot of promiscuity going on now. And basically, waiting is not something that is considered that you need to be doing. I want you to understand, Scripture says it's better to wait. And there's, again, studies that establish what happens when we are willing to wait. That's one example that I would give of this idea of delayed gratification. You will find that it will make your marriage much stronger if you're willing to wait until you get married to have relations. So that's just one example of what we are talking about there. But continuing to deal with this, in the Bible, there's examples of delayed gratification that we might give consideration to. And of course, the first one that I think about is Abraham and Sarah that we've already mentioned, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. And that context is in the middle of that, even though it's talking about those of faith, not just Abraham and Sarah, but they were certainly included there. And when you look at their life, it's an example of delayed gratification. And actually, there was a couple of hiccups along the way, if you will, a couple of challenges they endured. But eventually, they received a greater reward because of waiting. And understand, Abraham was 75 years old when God appears to him in Haran and tells him to move to the land of Canaan, and he shows him the land and he says, I'm going to give this land to you eventually, is the point that is made in Genesis 12 verses 4 and going through about verse 7 or 8 of that particular chapter there. And he says a number of other promises implying that Abraham was going to have children. 75 years old, and Sarah was 65. It's in chapter 21 of Genesis that Abraham finally gives birth to Isaac. Sarah's 90 years old, and Abraham is 100 years old. 25 years they waited, and then God finally answered their prayer, and they were, or the promise that he had made, and they were blessed as a result of that. Another example that I think about when I think of delayed gratification, and this is the example of failure, if you will. And that would be the example of Esau. Remember when Esau went hunting and he comes home and he's starving to death, as we hear the expression. And he literally meant that more literally than we think, that if I don't get some food right now, I'm going to die. And of course, Jacob had prepared some stew. And Jacob said, I'll give you a bowl of stew if you'll give me your birthright, if you'll sell me your birthright for this pot of stew. And Esau despised his birthright, and he gave him for a meal, he surrendered his birthright. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 16, Esau is actually described in the text as a profane person who for a morsel of food sold his birthright. He's described as profane in that particular text. Instant gratification rather than waiting. I don't see how, if Esau would have not gotten that meal from Jacob, that he would have died on the spot. I wasn't back there. I don't know the details, but I suspect it wouldn't have taken him long to find some food elsewhere and basically replenish his life. But he wanted it right then. And he wanted what Jacob offered him. He wanted that stew. And so it was provided to him. But it came at such a high price because he wasn't willing to wait. And that's the point of what we're talking about. I think of Joseph in Egypt. You know, it was several years, I think it was about 10 years or so, or maybe a little longer than that, before Joseph rose to power. He was wrongfully sold by his brothers into slavery. And of course, he's in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife casts longing eyes on him and wants to seduce him. But Joseph held to his integrity and to his faith, and he refused to give in to that. And it cost him for the moment. He was cast into prison, and he was in prison for quite a while as a result of that. But we know what eventually happens to Joseph because God was with him. He could have given in to instant gratification, and who knows? Maybe nobody would have ever known about it. Maybe it wouldn't have been recorded for us what he did. We don't know that. But we know what he did, and he was willing to wait. And he was blessed because of that. I think of Moses looking at the examples in Hebrews chapter 11. And what you read about Moses in verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And so the point that is made in that text is Moses walked away from being a child of the king and all the blessings associated with being in the household of the ruler of the land to be with his people. And he suffered with his people, as you know, from the life of Moses. He walked away from instant gratification because he wanted to be pleasing to Yahweh. He wanted to be pleasing to the Lord, knowing that that was going to yield a greater reward. And then there's another interesting one that we might not think about, and that is Simeon. Over in Luke chapter 2, this is after Jesus is born, and we find that as Jesus is going to be presented into the temple after he has been weaned, you read in verse number 29 of this particular chapter, Luke chapter 2 and verse 29, you actually go down a few verses before this, and you find that Simeon sees Jesus and he takes Jesus in his arms and he blesses God and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And he was told that he was going to see the promised child before he died. And he patiently waited for that. We don't know how long, but eventually he received the blessing. And then he was able to rest as a result of that. So you can see there's all kinds of blessings of the benefits of delayed gratification and the hazards of not waiting from that standpoint. But that leads to the next question that I want to ask in dealing with this, and that, what are some of the benefits when you wait? And I want to look at an article that's called 8 Benefits of Delayed Gratification. And understand that this is not a biblical argument, or this is not a biblical article, excuse me. This is about psychology. And you can do research on delayed gratification, and you're going to find psychological studies and observations about why it is better to wait, to delay satisfaction as opposed to instant gratification. And some of the reasons that were given is, number one, the idea of improved self-control in one's life. You resist short-term temptation, and the point is you're focusing on a greater goal, and you learn self-control and other qualities as a result of that. From an academic standpoint, performance is enhanced with higher scores, and usually you just do better in school because you know, this is the one who has learned that, you know what, before I watch television, I need to do my homework first. So you've got that self-discipline, and you get the difficult stuff out of the way, and then you can enjoy the reward with less stress from that standpoint. And you also just demonstrate that you're in control. And of course, that means that you're better at making decisions and so on, better decision-making skills. I mean, think about the one who says, you know what, doing my homework is going to benefit me to get a better job and to be better prepared for my job than just sitting down and watching television all the time. You have the idea of a greater emotional well-being, which is attached to the fact that you're making decisions, and so you're making less life mistakes, which often affect our emotional well-being. Those who learn how to delay gratification have higher self-esteem and overall mental health. There's lower stress levels because you're in control of what's going on. And you know, you could look at examples, financial management, and then there's a lot out there about that. You know that there's a lot of financial advisors that will encourage you. If you will put off the instant gratification today, in the long run, you're going to be much better off, and you're not going to be sitting like the majority of society when it comes time to retire, and you have nothing. So honestly, you can't retire. And you can't enjoy your retirement because you didn't take the time to save, which is what delayed gratification in that area is about. And you could apply it to taking care of yourself from a health standpoint. Nobody enjoys diets, or I should say the majority of people don't enjoy being on a diet and denying yourself the foods that you want because they're not good for you, they're not healthy for you. But you realize that if I give these things up now, if I deny myself of these or limit how much of this I use, that in the long run it's going to make me a better person. It's going to make me more healthy. And that's the idea of greater emotional well-being. And of course, along with this is increased resilience. Because you've learned these traits, self-control, self-discipline, and putting things off. When obstacles come in your way, you're better prepared to handle those things. And that means greater long-term success because you look down the road at the greater goal or the ultimate goal as opposed to what gratification you get right now. And so these are some of the things that science and psychology has established and proven with studies to be benefits when you are willing to put things off. But my point in this lesson is to understand, and I think as you look at this list, can you not see biblical application associated with these points? I mean, think about this. You put off instant gratification doing things, and maybe, you know, let's just deal with the things that are not sinful within themselves. But you put off enjoying something, and maybe you sacrifice enjoying something right now because there's something better that you can do, something that will build you up spiritually better. You assemble with the saints rather than spending Sunday watching football live. From that standpoint, because you know that being with the saints is going to build you up spiritually. You're going to be better off as a result of that. And some of the qualities that we do find in Scripture that delayed gratification helped to develop: self-control and self-discipline, first and foremost, patience, endurance, which is the idea of not giving up. You have a better grasp of what it means to commit to something and actually carrying out and being successful with your commitments. And then, of course, there's the idea of willpower. You learn to say no because it's not the best in a given situation. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 2, James there said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And he goes on, "But let patience have its perfected work," or perfect work. And the point of that is let that patience develop, because it's going to make you stronger in the long run. Paul over in 1 Corinthians 9, in describing athletes, you know, he made the point in that particular text there, where he said, "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." He talks about the top level athletes, how they exercise self-discipline and self-control. If there's some habit that's going to stand in their way of being their absolute best at whatever the athletic ability that they have, whatever area they're competing in, they will do without that. The time that they spend exercising and practicing their craft means giving up other things that might yield instant pleasure right now, and they do it because they want to be the best. They want to win the medal in the long run. And that's the illustration that Paul gives, but he makes it spiritual. We are competing for an imperishable crown, and that's the point to consider. And often, you know, waiting, it produces better outcomes in the long run. And that's because of some of the things that I've talked about in this lesson. And think about that spiritually. If you're willing to put forth the effort and not gratify yourself instantly with things, and instead do things that are going to build you up spiritually, it's going to help you in the long run. You know, use as an illustration learning God's Word. How many people don't read God's Word, don't read the Bible on a daily basis because they'd rather watch television, or they'd rather play a game, or they'd rather do something like that? And I'm not saying that it's wrong to play that game or what you're watching, but because you chose not to spend a few moments reading the Bible and studying, that's that much less you know about God's Word. Whereas if you consistently make it a habit that I'm going to study God's Word first, I'm going to say a prayer before I engage in those. And yes, that means I'm not going to have as much time to do those fun things, but in the long run, it's going to make me better. It's going to produce a better outcome. It's going to make me a better and a stronger Christian. And that's because of all those qualities that I will have that I just talked about, the character qualities that will help us. And of course, that leads to a better mental state. You don't feel guilty because you wasted your time, or because you engaged in activities that you should not have engaged in. And when you finally receive that reward, you appreciate it more because you know the effort that you put forth, and that often makes it worthwhile. You know, you sometimes give the illustration of the teenager who has the parent with wealth who gives their child the car, and they just don't appreciate it as much as the one who their parent wants to help them, but they make you go out and work for it. And when you work for that car, and then you pay for it with your hard-earned money, you're going to take better care of it, you're going to appreciate it more because it's yours and because of the effort that you put forth to give it. Think about that spiritually. A better mental state. You think better of yourself spiritually because you've done the spiritual exercises. You've exercised yourself toward godliness, and in so doing, you're closer to God as a result of that. So you feel better about yourself spiritually. And of course, tying all these things together, it can increase your faith. Your faith is more important to you than the other things in the world. Your faith is more important than it would have been if you're pursuing instant gratifications of this life. And so all those things just tie together, and those are biblical benefits of delayed gratification. And of course, I want you to think about this as a Christian. What is our ultimate goal? Is it not to achieve heaven when this life is over? That's what we want more than anything else from that standpoint. The life of a Christian is summarized in the fact that we sacrifice in this life to enjoy eternity. And when we get into eternity and we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about those sorrows and those sacrifices anymore because we will be in a perfect environment. In Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse number 28, you read there in that text, where it says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. We eagerly wait for him to return, and in the meantime, we're living faithfully so that when he returns, we will be rewarded with our salvation. Recall how Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 that our citizenship is in heaven. And he's making the point there that we need to understand that as Christians, we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, which means that this earth is not our home, and we cannot make the pursuits of this world overcome the pursuit of our heavenly citizenship, or distract from our heavenly citizenship. We're pursuing heaven when this life is over. You know, earlier in Philippians 1 and verse 23, you know, Paul there talked about you know, how I've got a dilemma, he basically says. And he says, I've got a dilemma between staying here and departing to be with the Lord. And as he said there in verse 23, he said that that is far better. I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul knew that if he remained in the flesh, it meant more suffering. It meant more pain. But he was willing to put off the eternal gratification because it was better for them. And he knew that it would help him in the long run. So we do what we do because we know there's something better waiting on the other side of eternity. Paul, over in Romans chapter 8, and in verse number 25 said, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That hope that he's talking about in that text is heaven when this life is over. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 10, Peter there said, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you've suffered a while. Yes, you're going to endure hardships in this life. You may endure pain and rejection. There's things you're going to have to give up to faithfully follow God. But in the end, you will receive that eternal reward. And how often does the Bible emphasize that eternal reward? This is just a sampling of passages that we would give consideration as we deal with that. So that's the importance of delayed gratification. Now, for the remainder of my time in this lesson, I just want to briefly mention some things that we can do that will help us to delay gratification. And the first thing I want you to mention is what I'm about to say. I realize that it's not easy. It's not easy to learn or to apply this if it's not something you have been doing. You know, you go back to that marshmallow study and you note that the majority of the students, they didn't wait. And they didn't perform as well as those who did. Well, I want you to understand that that doesn't mean that if you failed to delay gratification in the past, that it's not something you cannot learn. You can learn to put off gratification now. But you're going to have to work at it. And I'm going to tell you right now where it's going to begin is it's going to begin with a proper mindset. And what I mean by that, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to say once and for all, heaven is more important to me than whatever, and you fill in the blank. And I'm willing to walk away from that. I'm willing to put that off because it will enhance my hope of heaven when this life is over. You know, over there in Hebrews chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul there was talking about our spiritual warfare. And he makes the point there in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for casting down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So Paul is making the point that we're in this war, and we're willing to put off these things, even to the point of reaching a point where even our thoughts are focused on serving God. That's what I mean by a mindset. Friends, until you make up your mind that you want to do better, you're not going to do better. And we're not talking about wishing. We're talking about literally making up your mind once and for all. You know, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John there said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We have to realize that the ways of the world are not of God. And that has to be our attitude. And until we make up our mind that God is our priority, we're going to struggle with delayed gratification. And that brings me to the next point, which is tied to this, and that is you need to remind yourself of the reward that is waiting if you don't give in. You know, I just mentioned the ultimate reward is heaven when this life is over, but there's also a lot of rewards that are attached to learning to say no, or learning to say no right now. And here's the point, long-term goals, they have to mean more to you than that short-term instant gratification. And that's a part of our mindset. We have to reach the point where we want to go to heaven more. We want to please God more than whatever that thing is that I can have right now, even though it's not going to help me draw closer to God. Another thought that comes to my mind is, and this is a recommendation on developing delayed gratification, is to deny yourself something intentional on purpose. You know, make up your mind that I'm not going to do something for a short period of time. Remember how Jesus, when he was calling for disciples, said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He emphasized, you have to deny yourself and be willing to deny yourself. You know, I think of, and I've kind of mentioned this in times past, actually did a lesson or two on it, and that is fasting. You know, think about fasting. I don't think it's something that God ritualistically calls for us to do in God's Word or commands us, but it is something we can choose to do. And fasting is a way to learn self-control. It's a way to learn to deny yourself instant gratification right now, because by definition, when you're fasting, what you're doing is you're delaying gratification. You're delaying whatever it is that you're fasting from. And so you're learning self-discipline when you do that. And another thing that is also recommended is, you know, occasionally reward yourself as you progress. Now I'm not talking about doing things that are sinful. But I'm talking about, you know, occasionally, you know, you're not going to watch that television until you've studied God's Word. Okay, you've studied God's Word, and you've sacrificed time to do that. Well, if it's okay to watch a little bit from that standpoint. The occasional rewards. Just don't let those rewards cloud the ultimate goal, whatever it is. You know, as Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, where he said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's the point that we're dealing with. Whatever, and of course, he's not talking about sinful behavior. He's talking about if something is lawful for whatever it is, that doesn't necessarily mean it's helpful. And even if I can engage in that, I cannot let it rule me. Those who pursue instant gratification, oftentimes there's other things that are ruling them in their life, and they have control over them, and that gets in their way of long-term goals. And with that in mind, the next thing that you need to do is you need to remove temptations and whatever stands in your way. Hebrews chapter 12, which we read a few moments ago, and in verse number 1, the writer there talked about how we lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. In other words, if we genuinely want to get to heaven when this life is over, if we want to grow spiritually, we need to remove, not just temporarily put off, but we need to remove anything that is going to sabotage our efforts to increase our faith. In Titus 2:11, Paul said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. We deny ungodliness. We have to deny ourselves of those things because of the greater reward that awaits us in the end. From time to time, we need to take a spiritual inventory. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Prove or test yourself. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. We need to step back every once in a while and see how we're doing. How am I progressing in my faith? Am I growing closer to God or being drawn further away? And have I given up enough? Or am I giving things up, or are they standing in my way? Pray about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, with thanks. James chapter 1 and verse 5, you lack wisdom, ask of God. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go to God in prayer and ask for His strength in overcoming the instant desires that stand contrary to God's will. You know, over in Luke chapter 18, Jesus there taught a parable about prayer. And this is a parable of a widow who was defrauded. And she goes to a judge who is unjust, and she pleads with the judge for to be avenged. And in short, the parable says that in time, the judge avenged her because of her persistence. And Jesus is using that as a parable to teach that we ought to always pray. We ought to pray consistently. And Jesus concludes by saying, shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out to Him day and night, though He bears long with them? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? The point that is made there is, keep praying to God about it. And God will help you in time. And that's the point. Which leads me to my final point as we wrap this lesson up. And that is the fact that we need to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. We need to trust God and realize that God is in control. And that's a point that we have to give consideration as we think about these things. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, and you know, Jeremiah is writing as Judah is being carried away into Babylonian captivity, and he's writing as Babylon is burnt, or excuse me, as Jerusalem is burned to the ground because of the sinfulness of Israel, because of their rejection of God, and now God has said enough. And one of the things that Jeremiah says, and this has to do with at the conclusion of 70 years of captivity, he says there, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. And the point is what's going to happen is what I have said is going to happen, but I'm going to restore you because I still care about you. And what I promise is going to happen, that's what will be accomplished. You know, over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul there said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And this is a verse that I realize is sometimes taken out of its context and given a more direct meaning in people's lives than what is intended by the context. The context basically says God's going to accomplish His purpose, and that's the point. You're not going to stop God from accomplishing His will. He is in control. And so when I give something up in this life, and I ask, is it worth it, what I need to think about? Well, I'm giving it up because I trust God, and I know that He knows what is best, and He's told me I don't need this in His Word. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will make a way of escape. We just have to trust Him. So there you have delayed gratification. It is a foundational quality that is going to impact every area of our lives. as well as the approach that we have as we live in this world. So I want to encourage you to resolve that as you look at life and you're tempted to do something right now that's not going to help you spiritually, just put it off. Don't do it, knowing that there is something better waiting for you if you stay faithful to God. Yes, God in His Word calls for us to give up many things. But I'm fully convinced that when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say it was worth it. Everything I was asked to give up is worth it. You know, Jesus on one occasion, this is what He said. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Isn't that what this is about? So think about it. What will you put off today so that you can enjoy eternity tomorrow? Think about that, and the lesson is yours. And if you would, please bow with me at this time. Dear God and our Heavenly Father, we come to You thanking You for the many blessings that we have in this life. And as we seek to serve You, we realize that we face difficulties. We face temptations to enjoy things right now. And sometimes those things are contrary to Your will. And at other times, they just don't help us to be everything that You would have us to be. Help us, dear God, to be willing to put off whatever stands in our way of drawing closer to You and to live our lives knowing that when this life is over, no matter what we've given up in this life, in the end, it will be worth it as we spend eternity in heaven. Help us to make that our goal and help us to do whatever we need to do to achieve that goal. We ask this through the name of Jesus and amen. And again, and as always, thank you for listening to the lesson. I hope that you have found some benefit and encouragement in this to live your life for God and realize that that there's more to life than just the moment that we are in right now. So thank you for listening, and hopefully in the future, as you hear more videos here, that you'll learn more of God's Word. Thank you for listening, and have a good day, and until next time, have a good week. And goodbye.